Yes, Father.
Is there a sense of between the human and the animals, like when they see you, they see, like they sense some peace in you, and they're like, you know, they sense you and they have some relation, or they're afraid, they're not afraid. Is there some sense and relation between the animals and the human?
Oh, I think absolutely, absolutely. I mean, it's a little off topic, but but I believe, you know, that because to the degree that humans are, and this is definitely one of the things I want to get to the degree that human beings are composite creatures, body and soul, to the degree that we have what might be called an animal nature, or as well as a spiritual nature, which is not a precise theological way of talking about it, to say that if in us the Spirit of God has put the animal part of us in right relationship to other human beings and to the world around us, then there is peace. St. Paul talks about this when he says, you know, the world groans awaiting the adoption of sons, the sons of God, you know, for us human beings to be restored, because he says, because it was not subjected willingly to this disorder. In other words, that doesn't mean that they were willing against it. It means they didn't have the will. That's one of those things we're going to get to also. The animal, you can say, well, my dog has a will. My cat especially has a will. But that's not what I'm talking about. They didn't have a freedom of choice in that regard. But they were subjected to this fallen state because of human sin. You see? So the recovery of the fallen Adam in a single human being, as we see in a saint, leads to that peaceableness and peacefulness in the world around them. And it's felt, it is felt, and you know this, Father, it is felt by other human beings, and it is felt by the creatures, because they recognize that in this person, at least, the natural order as created by God has been restored. And in this sense, natural, not meaning fallen, but nature as God created, which was good. So, sounds like off topic, but it's really not. Okay. So, now, next question. Put aside Mr. Roosevelt's thoughts. I'm asking you, what is your most cherished freedom? And yes, it's not rhetorical. What's your most cherished freedom?
You mean governmentally?
I mean, just however you choose to.
Yes.
Liberty.
Okay.
And that's what I'm saying, a freedom to choose for good or evil, you know, but ultimately, I bear the consequence of that decision. But I have freedom to make that choice. You cannot have, it's like you can't have freedom without the rule of law.
Yeah.
And the question is, who writes the law? And is the law from God, or is the law from the state?
And is it applicable to everyone? Yeah. Oh! Sorry. That's actually telling me that it's 10 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Where's your children?
It'd be, the freedom of speech, the First Amendment, because, I mean, we're here because of that. We're not being suppressed by the government saying we can't speak.
I have a lookout out here waiting.
Yeah, the lookout. He'll come running and tell us when. But, you know, the Stasi's not coming and grabbing us.
Yeah. Okay, yes.
Worship.
Freedom of worship.
Okay. Because we could be told at some point things are happening in Canada. We could be told at some point we can't worship what they
do. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Canadian law is galloping in the direction I don't want to go. Yes?
Freedom of fear. Because, and I don't know how to see this, but the only knowing that in this world, as a Christian, I have nothing to fear because my life is not here. My teacher is not here. My teacher, God willing, is to be with God.
Yeah.
So I should not have fear of anything.
Yeah.
And that's a God given.
You've reminded me of something that St. Athanasius the Great said, by which I judge myself. He said, Christians are not afraid of death because God has removed that fear. And I kind of have to examine myself. have I gotten to that point of freedom? I'm not sure sometimes. Depends on how fast the car is going. But anyway, okay, who else? Somebody else? Yes.
And in our society, every human being has value, because that's not true in a lot of places in the world. I'm thinking of the poor people in Syria and Yemen where everybody's just like collateral damage.
Yeah. 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 Okay. Anybody else? All right. So, liberty, freedom of speech, freedom from fear. I do think that we want to take a break here in a minute before we dive into the whole big subject of liberty and freedom.
We just about reached the three.
Okay, but first, the bell didn't ring yet.
No.
I thought I would read, since you know we're in Independence Week, so to speak. A letter from, it's an encyclical letter from Archbishop Demetrios of Greek Archbishop of the United States. America is how it's styled. this is from 5 years ago, a letter which he published on Independence Day. And he may do this every year, but this is one that I came across a couple of years ago that I liked, and therefore I kept, and so I'd like to read it to you today. Brothers and sisters in Christ, as we commemorate Independence Day and its significance for this nation, for our American heritage, and for the quality of our lives, we must also affirm and share the truth our Orthodox faith offers concerning freedom. In our contemporary world, many people understand freedom in a very individualistic way. For example, some emphasize freedom as an individual right in terms of speech, movement, belief, or behavior. Others speak of freedom from the arbitrary use of the power of government. Many affirm the liberty to have or to pursue a wide range of economic and social opportunities. Certainly, these are aspects of the classical understanding of liberty in a free society in which government is of and for the people, and their freedom is protected through various limitations on political authority. However, as Orthodox Christians, we understand that freedom is much more than this. We know that the blessing of a free society is that we are free to live and experience freedom in the fullest possible way. This is a freedom that is not limited to our individual rights and opportunities, but freedom to move beyond ourselves to what we can do for and to offer to others. Yes, we are free to say, do, move, and believe. But in the context of our faith and our communion with God, we are free to share a gospel of love and hope. We are free to give and serve so that others might find healing and peace. We are free to respond to the needs of those around us. We are free to act on our beliefs and to offer a witness of the power and grace of God. On this Independence Day, may we join with our fellow citizens of the United States of America in a celebration of our freedom. May we continue to be champions of freedom for all people throughout the world. May we also offer a witness of how true and enduring freedom is much more than the rights, equalities, and opportunities that we have individually. Let us show that the experience of freedom is much greater when we use it as an opportunity to bring life and hope to others, and honor and glory to God. with paternal love in Christ, Demetrius, Archbishop of America. And we'll stop there.